in Fusebox. So first we're going to talk about what is it all about, a little bit about why you may want to use it. I'm assuming since you're sitting in this room that you have some ideas about why it's advantageous. So that's a good thing, first of all. And then just some characteristics of Fusebox and what it does for us. Am I on the right thing here? I got to get back to my presentation for the mouse to work. Come on. Maybe I need to be over here. There we go. Okay. I have two screens going here, so I'm confusing myself. So, what is Fusebox? First and foremost, it's an application framework. It's a way to organize your applications. Primarily, it's ColdFusion. It originated in ColdFusion. It also exists for PHP, so if you're a PHP type, there is a parallel development effort that follows and tries to stay version compliant with the CF version. So if you get into the PHP world, the very familiar environment to work in, and that's one of the nice things about Fusebox 4 and later is with the XML configuration files, they're cross-platform. So you can actually take an application, pull it over from a ColdFusion environment, plop it into a PHP environment, and all you have to do is rewrite fuses. The whole application flow and everything stays the same. We'll see a little bit of that later. So, as of Fusebox 3, it also includes a set of core files. So when you go to fusebox.org and you download Fusebox, what you're getting are the core files. And this is a set of CFCs and CFM files that manage the request-response process and how Fusebox assembles what gets returned to the browser as a result of requesting a URL with a fuse action in it. And then some other best practices that have come along, so like file naming conventions and things like that. So we'll look at all of those. Why use it? So before I get too far off of track here, I'm assuming because these conferences only fall at specific times, it's, you know, nobody's ever here that has just heard of the word Fusebox and has never done anything with it. You've probably kind of tinkered around. We have one excellent, perfect, the perfect target. But you've probably tinkered a little bit and kind of, you know, maybe read some articles or seen some things. Okay, so I kind of, for my own use, need to get some idea of where you all are. So has anybody built an application that's running in Fusebox? Okay, it's kind of for your personal experimentation or something that's live and excellent. Good stuff. Cool. And then probably read articles. Everybody's, yeah, read articles on things. Probably Hal's stuff. any of the books out? Okay. A couple of book types. Excellent. Okay, good. Which book? Okay. Which book have you got? Well, okay. Batting 1,000 tonight. Okay. This morning. Boy, am I lost. So the primary benefit, as I see it, when people ask me about Fusebox, what's the benefit of Fusebox? First thing I tell them, first and last thing I tell them, and most of the things I tell them in between have to do with focus. It's all about focusing what you're working on, how the application runs, and how the request works, really, in the request response cycle. So where typically in the CF world, because a major percentage of ColdFusion folks got into ColdFusion from something other than a programming background, most of the ColdFusion code that's out there is kind of cobbled together and it grows sort of organically, and you do some code and it works, and then you try something else and that sort of works, and then you alter it a little bit more and that works better, and it just keeps growing that way. And what you wind up with is a collection of code that's not organized. It works, but there's one person on the face of the planet that knows why it works. And all of the rest of us, if you were to be hit by a bus and we were given your job to go in and maintain your stuff, would have to spend a lot of time going through and figuring out how your application is structured, how it's organized, how it works, in order to be able to do anything with it. With Fusebox, assuming you're already familiar with Fusebox and you go into someone else's shop that's running Fusebox, you know immediately where to go to find out what you need to know about the application. You're going to start out in the configuration files. So you look at the application configuration, that tells you the general aspects of the application. For every circuit, you can go into the circuit configuration file and you can follow the program flow, everything it does through that one file. So it's very quick in terms of getting up to speed with what an application is doing. So you can focus on what you need to know instead of having to winnow through all of the code in the application to sort out what's going on. It also allows you, Fusebox allows you to focus your talents. So how many of you are one-person shops? You do everything soup to nuts. Only two. Wow, this is encouraging. So everybody else works in a team environment? You have at least one other person that you work with? Excellent. Oh, Fuseboxes. You're the only cold. Okay, well.
Right, there's other job guys.
Okay. Do you have designer types or people that do tend to do like the HTML design or the front end design, that kind of stuff?
Normally that falls on me too.
Falls, okay. Yeah. Well, it's good for you too, but so when I'm talking about focus in terms of your skills, in terms of your expertise, when we get down to the Fuse level, Fusebox is breaking up your application by purpose of module. So we differentiate between pieces of code that display something to the user and pieces of code that interact with the database and pieces of code that do other invisible stuff behind the scenes. Okay? So these are all separated into separate identifiable files, and you can identify them by their file names. We'll be looking at that shortly. But what it means is that if you're working in a team environment and you have, like my team, for example, I have my database guru, and I have a couple of coders, and I have a tester extraordinaire. And so it allows me to take assignments and say, okay, I need queries. These are all going to my DBA. He gets to focus on that stuff and that stuff exclusively. So I use his talents for what he's good at. I'm not wasting his time on graphic design, right? He's too expensive for that. Okay. The display stuff go to my HTML types, the ones that are better at the UI side of the house. If we're implementing frameworks like Spry or other UI-based elements, they're the ones that know about it. That's their expertise, so they get to deal with that end. The action stuff, depending on what we're doing with the back end, we may be doing some Java integration, we may be doing, who knows what, LDAP, one thing versus another. Those go to folks that have the expertise in those specific areas. Because Fusebox breaks everything down into nice little bite-sized chunks of code, I can do that really easily and manage it in a team environment, take advantage of skills. If you're the one-man shop, what it lets you do is focus on when you need to change hats. Okay, so typically when we go through the Fusebox lifecycle process in development, we get around to coding. By the time we're actually writing code, we've documented the whole thing to the point where writing code is a matter of slapping on the headphones, cranking up whatever tunes you like, and writing specific types of code. And what I like to do if I'm working on a project by myself is I'll take, for example, all of the display stuff and only focus on the display stuff and work on that because it's a different mindset from when I'm working on the database stuff. So then I switch gears and I get all of the database related, the QRY, the query files, work on all of them at once because it's a different frame of mind. I can change that, and it's very clear in the process when I need to change my mode of thinking. And I know, okay, when I do database stuff, I'm thinking about these kinds of issues. And I'm not thinking about all of the stuff that you usually think about when you grow an application organically. Like, if I do this, is it going to break something else? And having to keep basically a whole application in mind while I'm working on it. Don't have to do that with Fusebox. So focus is a huge thing, which grows out of organization. We'll talk more and more about organization all the time. Organization of code, organization of team, organization of skills. Fusebox allows you to really leverage all of this and I'll say team benefits and time benefits. Team benefits in terms of modularity of code, small pieces of code that you can assign someone if you use a version control system. Fusebox is fantastic because you're only ever checking out small chunks of code at a time. So you can have many members of a team working on a project and nobody's walking on each other's code, okay? I was talking to Steve Nelson, who's kind of started the whole Fusebox thing way back, and he's off into a new concept now where he's sort of doing the Fusebox approach all in CFCs. And the basic idea is to capture an entire circuit in one CFC file, which is a neat concept, and each method in the CFC is a fuse action, and that's kind of a cool concept, except the problem I have with it as a program manager is that means I have an entire circuit trapped in one file. And so now I need to use version control that can merge collateral work, and I have a much more difficult time making sure the team doesn't walk on each other's toes. And now we need to make sure that everybody's really familiar with version control. So instead of using pessimistic version control where I can tell people just lock it when you're using it, I have to use optimistic where two people can check out the same thing, and when they're done with their work they have to check with each other, and the version control has to compare everything and see if we need to merge things and all that kind of stuff. So I don't like that quite as much. Team benefits also apply to you if you're working by yourself, believe it or not. And the reason I say that is because the person that you are 6 months from now, when you look at the code you're doing today and you have to do some kind of maintenance on an application you haven't touched in a couple months, is completely different from the person that you are when you're working on it today. And what Fusebox allows you to do is communicate not only with other developers in the current time frame, but with yourself in the future time frame. So as you do things and you document them, you use FuseDocs in your fuses and things like that, what you're doing is creating a communication framework for yourself. When you come back to it in 3 months or 6 months or whatever, you can sit down, look at it, and go right to the meat of the matter and not waste a lot of time sorting out where your brain was 6 months ago. I can't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday, so. Fusebox characteristics. Okay, so a Fusebox application, compared to non-frameworked applications, or I often refer to them as traditional applications in terms of CF. Fusebox has some characteristics, like centralized control, and by that I mean in a Fusebox application, every page request goes to the same place. You're always calling index.cfm, or you may have a different file name, but typically index.cfm, which, because of the Fusebox framework, becomes the controller. So what you're doing is calling that page and requesting an action, saying do circuit X with action A. And it says, all right, the controller says, okay, when you request that action, I know we need to deal with this circuit and nothing else. So I go to that circuit, I talk to that circuit, I say, okay, we need to do action A. And that circuit says, well, action A includes fuses 1, 2, and 3. So we collect those fuses and those fuses only and process and run them. Now, the core files have some logic built in so that that doesn't happen dynamically every time. If you've run that fuse action before, the code is pre-assembled for that fuse action, so in Fusebox 5. So it runs a little bit quicker than Fusebox 4 did, where it all happens dynamically, and you assemble all of that code and then submit it as a single page to the request engine. And then that results in what goes back to the browser. So we always know where a request is going to go. Why is this beneficial to developers? Because if you're sitting down with a page of code, let's say you're a display developer for me, you're doing some HTML, and I give you a form, I don't have to tell you where to submit the form to, right? Form's always going to be submitted to the same place. Now, for flexibility's purpose, we usually capture the name of the controller file, index.cfm, or whatever it is that you use, in a variable. So called self or request.self, something like that. So as a programmer, when you're sitting there doing a form for me, you need to know nothing about where the submission goes. All you need to do is put action equals self, fuse action equals, oh wait, you need to know where it's going to submit to. But you don't. There's a way we work around that as well. We use variables that are controlled, again, by the framework. So all the developer has to do is put in a variable that's specified in the fuse doc. So they need to know nothing about what's going on in the outside application. Very easy to focus on writing code that works instead of knowing what the whole application does in order to do it. Application organization. You can't build a fuse box application without it being organized to a certain extent. Even if you only have one circuit, you're still going to have the organization that falls out of file naming conventions and things of that nature. File naming conventions. Okay, so in Fusebox, we do three kinds of files. We'll look at them in depth in a little bit. Display files, action files, query files. I mentioned them all briefly a couple minutes ago. So they all have prefixes. Displays are always DSP, actions are always ACT, and queries are always QRY. A query file simply means you're going to return a record set. So I don't care where it comes from, whether you're using, you know, how you build that record set. It just means the result of the file is going to be providing a record set. You can also develop local conventions and use your own prefixes. So if you, there are some shops that like to differentiate their layout fuses from other display fuses, and so they'll use an LAY prefix for an overall layout file. It's an arbitrary distinction. It's up to how you want to establish things locally. Big thing, separation of presentation from data, view from model. This is big in terms of Fusebox, in terms of any application development. When you separate your presentation logic from your business logic, you give yourself the ability to change either one without having to work on the other one. So your presentation logic may say something like, I have this record set. I know I have a record set. I'm going to loop over the record set, and I'm going to display each record in this format. If it doesn't care where the record set came from, in other words, the code that doesn't build that record set isn't incorporated into that code, you can do whatever you need to with the code that does create the record set, the model, what goes back and talks to your data, builds the record set, and presents it for use by the presentation layer without having to worry about it. All you need to know is this record set is going to output a specified set of stuff. This display is going to use a specified set of stuff. And this is where FuseDocs come in, so that we know what our requirements are going to be for use. I can have two completely separate people work on both sides of the house. Neither one needs to know what the other one's doing. Neither one needs to care about what the other one's doing. All they need to do is satisfy the contract that's established in the FuseDoc, and everything will run. It'll work fine. So this is very powerful. You hear a lot and read a lot about MVC now. And a lot of the examples on Fusebox.org for Fusebox 4 used an explicit variation on MVC that actually separates directories for the model and the view code and the controller code and so forth. This is a valid approach, and it does help illustrate what MVC is all about. But one of the things that's important to recognize is that Fusebox is inherently an MVC framework. Okay? By the very nature of how it organizes code, the core itself is a controller. Okay? We use that concept of a centralized controller, so that satisfies the C of MVC. And we also separate model and view code. Okay, so model code tends to be the queries and the actions to a certain extent. And the model is all of our display files. So Fusebox already provides you some of that separation of concept that is what MVC is all about. So when you look at some of the examples, one of the bits of feedback that we've gotten on starting with Fusebox 4 was that there was a general impression that we were pushing everyone towards using this formalized MVC framework where you used a model directory or circuit and a view directory and a controller directory. I see that as kind of artificial just because Fusebox really is an MVC environment on its own. Okay. And then modularity, I've mentioned repeatedly already. We just break everything down into small chunks, so it's really easy to deal with. Oh man, rapidly running out of time. Centralized flow control we talked about, right? Okay. Fuse actions are defined in circuit.xml. There's a circuit.xml in each circuit. So it defines all of the fuse actions, and for each fuse action it defines what goes on in that fuse. So let's take a look at this real quick. Here we have a freeform application that grew organically, and this one's actually kind of organized, and it's got a pretty straight workflow, and we're doing a thing here where we've got a catalog, and we do some forms to collect member info and billing and shipping and payment information, we finish an order, and each one of these places, when you submit the form, it goes back and it processes itself. We've all seen those big CFF, CFLs constructs where half of the page is the form and the other half is the code that processes the form, right? Popular method. And then, you know, if we throw an error, then we'll go out to an error handler and things like that. So this is pretty well organized, but it's still a ton of stuff you have to follow. And if you're going to change this process anywhere along the line, then you have to come in here and deal directly with the code that's within the process. Here's a Fusebox application. That's all it does. It just calls itself. And so every call is going to go to index.cfm. You can't get lost in here. Okay, so the fuse action is the key to flow control. This is a sample circuit.xml file, if you haven't looked at one before. So we have fuse actions defined. Within the fuse action, we have these includes that tell us what fuse files are going to participate in that fuse action. Okay, so when Fusebox answers a request for this circuit, and let's say it's the cart circuit, and so the fuse action here would be like cart.show shipping form. It's going to say, okay, I need to use the DSP shipping form fuse to respond to this fuse action. Oh, by the way, we're setting an XFA, an exit fuse action here. And this is the magic that allows developers to not have to know where a form is going to submit to, for example. Okay, in this case, it's an XFA called OK button. So guess what that's going to be associated with? The OK button on the form, right? So very clear there. And its value is going to be cart.save shipping info. So what happens then is the developer, when they have the OK button, the code on the OK button, is going to submit the form to self or index.cfm. And then the fuse action is going to be the variable referenced with hash marks, xfa.okbutton. Okay? What Fusebox does is say, all right, I'll make that substitution for you so that the form, the fuse action, becomes cart.save shipping info. So when the user clicks that button, it submits to index.cfm with cart.save shipping info, which then processes our next fuse action there, whose name is save shipping info. Okay? So this is how you can follow the flow through the circuit XML, is by following XFAs. So you see an XFA here that says OK button. It tells me when somebody does an OK button on this form, it's going to go and do this action. And this action says, OK, I'm going to set up a result for success and a result for failure. If it succeeds, I'm going to show the credit form. If it fails, I'm going to show a cart error. And then I'm going to use those to process this act save shipping info. Okay, so the flow of the whole application is right there in circuit.xml. I should say the flow of that circuit. Okay, very simple. So application organization, we have fuses that are specified in circuit.xml. We have fuse actions that are specified in circuit.xml. So a fuse action is a collection of fuses. Fuse action can use one or more fuses. Fuses can potentially participate in more than one fuse action. A good example is always the famous query that returns states and their abbreviations. You might use that on 15 different forms, and you can use the same fuse in every fuse action that needs that data available. Fuse actions are then collected into circuits. Okay, so this is sort of the hierarchy of organization in Fusebox. The application itself is defined in fusebox.xml, one and only one of these for each application. So where there's a circuit.xml in each circuit of the application, there's a fusebox.xml only in the root directory of the application. And it defines the circuits that exist for this application. So regardless of how many directories that you have under the root directory for an application, your application is only going to pay attention to the ones that are defined in fusebox.xml. Settings for the application, for example, fuse action is the default name for the action variable that we pass along with every request. But you can change that if you want to. You can call it FA. You can call it do. You can call it foo for all I care. So that's one of the settings that's in fusebox.xml. Allows you to define how your application behaves and how it appears to the public. Global fuse actions are defined in fusebox.xml. As the name implies, these are fuse actions that are fired with every request. And there are various points in the request process that you can assign global fuse actions. There's also a concept of plugins. The difference, I'll just mention real quickly, the difference between a global fuse action and a plugin is a plugin is code that's just, it's not organized as a fuse action. Okay, so it's just some code that lives in the plugin directory that you're going to insert at a certain point in the request response process, where a global fuse action is actually defined as a fuse action within the application. Plugins are a good place to use things like there's maybe some security code you downloaded from someplace for, you know, sidestepping is a good point. You want to prevent people from coming into a page, you know, bookmarking a page and coming into it from the side without logging in. So you could put in a plugin that does your sidestepping code for you, and it doesn't have to be organized as a fuse action. It can just be some plain CFML code in your plugins directory. So global fuse actions and plugins. All right, sample fusebox XML. Now let me see if I can fetch this stuff real quick. Get this conference. Well, I can use that. All right, so we're going to look at an application called We Got Widgets, which is the Fusebox reference application. It's available on fusebox.org. And a reference application, if you haven't seen one or used one before, is just an application that's used for conversational purposes. So if you want to talk about issues, and you want to demonstrate for someone what you're talking about, you can both grab a copy of We Got Widgets, and you can say, for example, look at this piece of code on that page, and you're working from a common ground. There are variants of We Got Widgets that demonstrate a bunch of different concepts in Fusebox, so using component content variables and other things like that that we don't have a lot of time for this morning. However, this is the Fusebox XML from the We Got Widgets application. Where's my mouse? So the first thing is this Fusebox tag. This is an XML vocabulary. The Fusebox tag contains the whole thing, so the closing tag's at the very bottom. Here's our definition of circuits. So we have an admin circuit, a browse circuit, and a catalog circuit. Can everybody see this? Yeah, okay, good. There aren't any classes defined right now. That's for, we can set up our own objects if we want to, if we're doing object-based stuff, which is kind of beyond our scope this morning. Here are the parameters for the application. For example, here's that fuse action variable I mentioned that's set to fuse action. So you could change that to FA or whatever you wanted to change it to. Default fuse action is going to be one that you'll change for every application, and that's simply what fuse action you want the application to run if someone comes to your site, index.cfm, without specifying a fuse action. Okay? So usually it's going to be a welcome screen or a, you know, something like that. In this case, we're showing our catalog. And then the other one that I'll mention is mode here, which has, it's currently set to development. There's development and production. There's a couple other settings that you can use, but production and development are the main ones you need to know about right now. They simply mean in development mode, every time you request, you make a request to the application, it will rebuild the parsed result of that request. When you switch it into production, if that fuse action already exists in the cache, it will use that instead of rebuilding it. Okay, so if you're developing things and your changes don't seem to be taking effect, check that variable and see if it's in production. If it is, then switch it over to development, and then you'll see your code start making sense again. Script language for us to CFMX, in most cases. Again, you could shift this over to PHP, and then these things would change. So we'd have PHP there and PHP and so forth. Here's global Fuse Actions. The basic version of We Got Widgets uses the old style concept of having some header display and footer display and then variable content in the middle. And so we've implemented that here with a pre-processed global Fuse Action where we just say do catalog header before every request, and after every request in the post-process, do catalog footer. Okay, so that's an example of global Fuse Actions. We're not using any plugins in here. But if you look at the plugins section, you can see we can implement plugin code at these six points in the Fusebox process. It's a little more esoteric, and as you get into how the core files work, you can explore where plugins come into the process. All right, naming conventions I already mentioned. Any questions on them? The only thing I will mention is the underscore after the prefix. This is how Fusebox started out originally with the underscore. I hate them, primarily because in lots of environments where you're trying to illustrate issues, if something gets underlined, the underscore disappears, somebody puts in a space, everything breaks, you go, eh. You know, so I don't use the underscores. Some shops do. The main thing is whatever your convention is, stick with it. Okay, so the convention is the important thing. Local conventions are allowed, so some places have used layouts or URL type stuff. Okay, separation of presentation and data, talked about pretty well. Modularity, circuits are logical collections of actions. Okay, so people, the biggest question that comes up when I talk to folks that are getting into Fusebox and architecting applications is how do I know what belongs in which circuit? And the answer is it's entirely up to you. This is where kind of the art of Fusebox architecture comes in. A circuit is simply a logical collection of actions. So typically what I do when I'm designing an application is I come up with all of the actions, and that's a whole nother session on how to do the architecture part of the process. But you come up with a collection of actions that you need to process, and you start looking at them in terms of, you might see a bunch of things that have to do with a cart. And so those you would probably logically put together into a cart circuit. You might have a bunch of things that have to do with products. So maybe you think about a catalog circuit, or you think about, you know, things like this. It's just how do things make sense to you in putting together the application. There's no right and wrong about it. You can use one big circuit if you want to. You can use 100 tiny circuits if you want to. It's just what makes sense to you and how you arrange your circuits. Reusability is maximized, talked about that. I don't really have time to go into the depth of the login circuit, but my point in using a login circuit as an example for reusability. Typically, from one application to the next, the logic that you use for login doesn't change much, if at all, right? You have somebody come in, they put in a user ID and a password, it validates them against something, and it lets them into the site. So this is code that you're probably going to reuse from one application to another. So it's really easy for you to just take it out of one application, drop it into another, and it will just go. Okay. Whew, okay, excellent. We're pretty good on time. So what I want you to leave with, a basic understanding of what Fusebox is about, why frameworks are beneficial, what makes Fusebox a well-rounded framework. I've gone really quickly through all that XML stuff and so forth. A 50-minute session is just enough to kind of scratch the surface and maybe pique your interest in hopefully seeing some other stuff today and tomorrow and getting into other resources. So we've got about 5 minutes left, which should leave us with Q&A time. I know this is really fast, and it's kind of probably all like, you know, throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping something sticks. Questions that you have right now? Yeah.
Could you go back to the slide where you showed the sample circuit diagrams and all, and point out which part is the fuse and which part is the fuse?
Absolutely. Not sure if I can back up in this thing. Oh, I can. Oh, hey, go to slide. Where was that? It was after that. Here we go. Oh, man. Close? Almost. All right. So in here, I don't have my magic laser here. Ooh, hey, look at this. All right. So Fuse Action is defined here, okay? And then the includes are going to tell you your fuses. Now, what's confusing here is over here there's no extension on this. You can, if you want to, in CF applications, put .cfm on the end of this. You'll often see that in many applications. The reason I don't put it on here in examples is to stress the idea that XML allows us to be cross-platform transportable. So we could drop this circuit XML as it exists now with no changes into a PHP environment, and it would run, the difference being it would look for DSP shipping form.php instead of .cfm. If I specify .cfm in that file and there's ever any potential of throwing it into a different environment, then I would have to make those changes. Okay? So the fuse action is all of the code that's between these two tags. And then the actual fuses are in the includes. Okay. Now you can also have in a fuse action, part of your fuse action may be do another fuse action. So there's a do verb, a do tag that you can use, and it's just like you saw in the global fuse actions. You might have a line in here that says do action equals cart dot, refresh cart products or something. And you're going to do that as part of everything that you do. Well, you can, within the cart, you can just stick a do verb in here, and it'll do that. And actually, what it accomplishes is takes the logic from that fuse action, gives it all of the logic from that fuse action processed, incorporated into this fuse action at that point in the process, and then includes the rest of your stuff. Okay, it's important to think about within a fuse action, top to bottom. So, for example, if your shipping form needs that query that has states, names, and abbreviations, you would want to have that above where you're including the shipping form. Okay, so you have the query is a record set, and then you present the form just as though you were writing it out as a single template. You want that order to be in there. Does that clarify things? Okay, good. What else?
Two quick questions.
Yep.
I saw in that XML configuration file a masking for the file extensions.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean that if you don't have that particular extension in that configuration file, that your code's not going to run? Like, let's say if I wanted to, if I had HTML.
Right.
If I had HTML extensions built in, is that file going to run?
Yes, I use them all the time. I'm trying to remember all the logic behind the file delimiter mask. This is a. You know what? I'm not. Let me get a more specific answer for you offline. This doesn't have to do with whether or not they will run. It has to do with whether or not they're presented directly as opposed to having to be processed by Fusebox.
I see.
Okay?
I see.
So, kind of a subtle difference. It's not enabling and disabling. It's just controlling how they process.
Now, my second question is, I've just started to the point where I've totally changed my mindset into doing all of my Cold Fusion programming using CFCs.
Okay.
Am I going to be able to incorporate this?
Yes.
Into Fusebox?
Yes, and in fact, there are a couple of variants of We Got Widgets on the Fusebox.org site that show a couple of different ways that you can use CFCs. It's very effective to build all of your model code, for example, in CFCs and have all of your interaction with whatever your data store is be encoded in a model in CFCs, and then have your application framework, your front-end presentation, and so forth in Fusebox, and works just fine. In fact, there are sessions, I know I saw in the schedule a couple of sessions that have to do with incorporating CFCs into Fusebox and so forth. So, yeah, definitely something that you can do without any difficulty at all. Good. Yeah. Yes, I am. I'm going to be bludgeoned the next couple of days over this. I had actually intended for the book to be out in October. Life on the real planet has just kind of whacked my plans upside the head. I'm working on the critical chapter right now that really is the meat of differences between FB4 and FB5. So once I get a chance to spend a little bit more time with Sean and talk about some of the things that we really want to stress in terms of what that chapter needs to communicate, once I'm past that one, the rest of it is pretty much editing and updating. So real soon now, I hope. But what that translates into remains to be seen. Stay tuned to protonarts.com. You'll see it all over the place as soon as it comes out, I promise. Yeah. Right, so a plugin is when you want to use code that's not defined as fuses and fuse action organizations. So it's probably, in many cases, it's stuff that you haven't written, that you're borrowing from someplace else or you want to use. The example that I mentioned before with using the sidestepping code, there are lots of places that have put together just a piece of, several lines of cold fusion code that check to see what the request looks like, whether it includes specific variables. So in our case, it might be whether if you're calling index CFM, if you have a fuse action variable, and maybe you're checking a cookie to see if the person's logged in or something. Okay. This might be just some code that's in a plain CFM file. It's not a fuse action defined within the application. It's just some code that lives in, I don't have a working version, but if I can find my cursor here, split screens are terrible. There's this plugins directory in the application, and this is where all your plugin code goes. So it's typically just CFM files that are in here that you call directly. So where, where in the global fuse actions, everything that you call in here has to be called as a do action, which means it has to be defined as a fuse action within a circuit within the application. Okay? What you have here in plugins, you can define a plugin using the plugin tag inside one of these phases. And all it's going to do is call a template that lives in the plugins directory. Okay, so all plugins are in the plugins directory. They're not necessarily associated with a specific circuit. In fact, they're not associated with a circuit. They're not organized within the context of the application at all. They're just CF code that you want to have happen at whatever that point is. So, for example, we have pre-process, pre-fuse action, post-fuse action, fuse action exception, post-process are all places that we could do this code. So pre-process, which refers to before the core file processes the fuse action and sets up all the behind-the-scenes stuff, is a great place to say, okay, is this person making a well-formed request and do they belong at this point in the application, or are they trying to sidestep from a bookmark they saw someplace else? So you can check that before Fusebox even does all of its stuff and say, no, wrong place. Throw them back to the login form. Okay, does that make sense in terms of? I mean, the difference between a plugin and a global fuse action is simply a fuse action is a defined portion of the application. A plugin is just some code that you want inserted at that point. It's typically very small stuff. I frankly don't use a lot of plugins just because most of the stuff that I have is defined as part of an application, and I already have it in that format. So it's just plugins just provide a way to extend what Fusebox can do for you without having to codify it as a Fusebox app. Okay? Yeah?
Fusebox seems super cool. Why do we need a Mach 2?
Why do we need a Mach 2 or a Model Glue or whatever? Because not everybody's brain is the same shape, is really what it comes down to. Mach 2 came out of the idea of doing Fusebox OO, and in reality it started out as becoming, it started out being named a Fusebox OO, and we realized that got just too confusing. And so, Hal said, well, let's not do this. Let's give it a different name so that we're not causing a lot of confusion in the Fusebox world. Mach 2 is designed by, aimed at, and intended for object-oriented thinkers. Okay, so that's really what it's all about. Model Glue builds off of some of the things that Mach 2 did and just changes the framework a little bit for, again, kind of a different shaped head. Which is better? There's no better, really. There's just different. Fusebox is the broadest of all of them. It allows the most different approaches. So you can do procedural approaches. You can do OO approaches. However you want to do it, you can do it in Fusebox. If you're going to do Mach 2, you've got to have an OO-shaped head. Because if you don't get object concepts, then it just isn't going to make sense the way it works to you. Okay? Mach 2 is exactly Mach II. The II is for implicit invocation. If you get into software engineering and stuff, Mach 2 is framed around an implicit invocation engine, which is just a way of saying how it operates internally. And it operates on messaging and the application responding to messages sent to kick off can be a whole series of actions and so forth. So it's a different way of thinking, a different way of approaching the application. So Mach 2, Model Glue kind of have requirements about the shape of your head. Fusebox is sort of a more open field that allows you to push the framework in the direction that you want it to go. For if you want to incorporate CFCs and do object-based stuff, you can do that. If you want to do purely procedural stuff and that's all you ever want to get into, you're free to do that with Fusebox. And the beauty of it is it can be a really nice teaching tool. If you do a lot of OO-related stuff and you frame it in Fusebox, then you can bring on procedural folks and say, look, this is how it works. And odds are, because of the Fusebox framework, they'll go, oh, well, wait, that makes sense. There's nothing mystical about this OO stuff, which is really true. And I'm doing a session tomorrow on OO for procedural thinkers. So if you want to get into that kind of discussion, we can talk about objects tomorrow and that whole kind of thing. But yeah, so they're just different shape brains. That's all there is to it.
So if you want to be strictly OO, you can do it in Fusebox.
Yep. Yep. And there's actually examples of we got widgets that that explore how to do OO kind of things. Yeah.
Jeff, just to tack onto that, I think one of the things that I've heard is that let's say you are an OO Fusebox or you might become an OO Mach 2 or an OO Mach 2. The answer I've heard is it's up to you which framework you use, something like that.
Mm-hmm. If you're in a one-man shop, that's absolutely true. The other aspect of it is if you're in a team environment, it really depends on what the experience of the team looks like. Okay, so before you say, we're going to do Mach 2 or we're going to do Model Glue, you need to kind of survey the experience level of your folks and how much they have OO as a way of thinking and a way of doing things before you want to make that migration. You want to make sure that if they don't all have that shaped brain, that you give them some training and kind of help mold things before you move into that kind of framework. Okay, so just mindset. Good. Anything else? Got, I think, all of 2 or 3 minutes here. Any ideas? Why is it called fusebox.xml.cfm instead of just .xml?
So you can't navigate to it directly.
Bingo. Yeah. So if you don't have any sidestepping code in your application, if somebody navigates directly to the file, they don't get to see all of the logic of how your application is laid out. Because it goes through the cold fusion processing engine that says, these are foreign tags, I don't do anything with them, therefore I output nothing, and you get a blank screen. Yeah, that's the only reason. You don't have to use that. If you have sidestepping code built in and so forth, you can just leave the .cfm off. Yeah.
How heavy of a load have you seen Fusebox run under?
How heavy a load? How heavy do you want? Is MySpace heavy enough?
Yeah.
Portions of MySpace are in Fusebox. So yeah, Fusebox took a big rap kind of right along with Cold Fusion early on about, it doesn't scale. It's for toy applications. It's for, goofing around. Totally untrue. Some of the biggest applications going have been in Fusebox over the years. Auto Bytel used to be, the biggest auto sales site on the net. Talked to Doug Nottage. He put the whole thing together and initially started out, it was all Fusebox, scaled fine. He used to actually do presentations on how to scale applications. And his stuff was based in Fusebox. So, yeah, Fusebox can it's, there's definitely no finger you can point at Fusebox and say, oh, you shouldn't use that because it won't scale or it won't perform or it won't, fill in the blanks. If your servers are capable, it'll handle it, okay? And hardware is cheap. Cool. Yeah?
What do you personally think about Steve Nelson's CFC implementation that he's going to be putting on?
It's a cool thing. It's an interesting way of thinking about things. The one knock I have against it, like I mentioned earlier, is the idea that it takes all of the code for a circuit, encapsulates it in one CFC, and that's it. So for a team environment, it means it's very hard for various members of the team to work on the same circuit because it's all in one file. Is they have to be careful about not walking on each other's work.
He's doing a lot of includes, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, inside those
functions,
and all includes.
Yeah, and you can shape it that way, so you can do, there's a lot of ways you can manage it. One of the things that I like about it a lot is that it's encouraging use of CFCs in other than, CFCs are objects, okay? One of the big pushes has kind of been all of the folks that do have formal software engineering backgrounds in the Cold Fusion world have kind of been pushing Cold Fusion towards being Java and saying, okay, CFCs are objects, and CFCs are going to, you know, we need interfaces for CFCs to make them more like Java classes and so forth. And this kind of ignores the wealth of opportunity that we have to use CFCs as something other than objects. That's one of the really cool things about what Steve's doing, is he's exploring the use of CFCs as something particular to Cold Fusion, and very interesting from that perspective. So, yeah, and the one thing that you'll find, again, you know, Steve has a lot of history with what Fusebox is all about, and so the issues of organization, of focus, of those kinds of things are all there as well. So, the only thing he doesn't have going for him right now is the world's not using it yet. And so, you know, you won't run into 100 other folks at a conference that know exactly what you're talking about when you talk about Fusebox. But it may come. You know, time will tell. So, yeah, definitely interesting things to explore. Absolutely. What else? Anything else? Cool. Well, I just got the high sign that says quit. So I guess I have to let you go. Thanks for coming, and enjoy the rest of the conference. Fill out the surveys, I have to tell you. Fill out the survey forms or you won't be allowed out of the room. I think that's a lie, but go ahead anyway.